The difference between a fruitless believer and a fruitful follower is the location of Christ. Jesus is on the mind or he's on the heart. Jesus is standing on the outside or he's standing on the inside calling the shots. And so this fig tree was cursed. This tree was not cursed for being fruitless. The tree was cursed for being a false witness. Jesus was hungry for food, and he found nothing. When Jesus comes into your heart and he saves you, he places his Holy Spirit in you, and he expects fruit.
Welcome to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast. Dive into the rich tapestry of God's Word with us as we bring you another empowering episode. In today's installment, we revisit a compelling message by Brother Mark Abney titled, Being Fruitful, based on Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 25. Join us as Brother Mark delves into the profound truths of Scripture, unpacking the significance of Jesus' teachings and their timeless relevance for our lives today. Through insightful exposition and practical application, you'll discover the keys to cultivating a life of spiritual fruitfulness and abundance. As you listen, may your heart be stirred, your faith strengthened, and your spirit refreshed by the transformative power of God's Word. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, and encouraged as we journey together in our pursuit of deeper intimacy with Christ and greater impact in the world around us. So grab your Bible, tune in, and let's embark on this enriching journey of faith together. It's time to encounter God's truth and experience His presence in a fresh and meaningful way. And now, Brother Mark.
I've entitled this message, Being Fruitful, coming out of Mark 11, 1 through 25. The very first part of this is going to be a little bit of a repeat because we did talk about Palm Sunday. We went into the Easter story because that's kind of part of it as he went into Jerusalem. But we'll reread this. It don't hurt to read the Word of God twice. Amen. Mark 11, 1 through 25. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, Why are you doing this? Say, The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately. And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, What are you doing, untying the colt? And they told him what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And he entered Jerusalem and he went to the temple. And when he had looked around at everything in the temple, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. So he went back from Jerusalem to Bethany with the 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing at a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. And he came to it, and he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, May no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple, and he began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons, and he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, Is it not written, My house shall be called the house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him, because all the crowd was astonished with his teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city. And as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. And Jesus answered them, Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. And if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. And they came to Jerusalem. And as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him, and they said, By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you the authority to do them? And Jesus said to them, I will ask you one question. Answer me. And I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John the Baptist from heaven or from man? Answer me. And they discussed it with one another, saying, If we say from heaven, he will say, Why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, they were afraid of the people, for they all held that John was a real prophet. So they answered Jesus, We do not know. And Jesus said to them, Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it's good for correction. It's good for daily living. It's everything we need from cover to cover. I thank you that it is complete. I thank you that every story that's in there has a meaning for us to apply to daily living. Lord, may we take this story that you have told us here about the fig tree, and may we apply it to our lives, that we might be fruitful Christians who follow you day by day. And all these things I pray in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen. You may be seated. Remember, we skipped over to Mark 14, 15, and 16, and we picked up the Easter story and we finished out the Gospel of Mark. But we left a few chapters, so I want to go back and pick them up. So now we go back to chapter 11 and we'll finish the rest of the Gospel up into 14, where we went to Easter. The story picks up with Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, known as Palm Sunday. We visited that week. That text the week before Easter, so we'll not dive into it much here. But on Palm Sunday, Jesus rode the colt from Bethany to Jerusalem, going to the temple and then returning to Bethany. The day after Palm Sunday, Monday, the 11th day of Nisan, which is April, Jesus and the disciples went back to Jerusalem. And on the way back, Mark says Jesus was hungry. His hunger proves that Jesus, even though he was God, he was also man. He was like us in every way. Jesus is God. He is God the Son. He is the God-man, both God and man. God came to earth as man to redeem us back to himself. The Bible says that through his death, he delivered us from Satan, and he took all our sins upon himself to make us holy once again and redeem us back to God. Hebrews 2:14 through 18 says this, Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has power over death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like us in every respect, so that he might become merciful and faithful, and a faithful high priest in service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Propitiation means replacement or exchange. So he made propitiation for our sins. He took all of our sins upon himself because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So he became like us and yet lived perfectly without sin as a person here on earth because he was God. And he was able to do so and set a perfect example for all of us. But then he took all the sins because he was a spotless lamb. He took all the sins of all people forever. to the cross, and he died for them sins, that anybody that would ask with their mouth Jesus to come and get forgive them of their sins, he would be able to do so because he is our scapegoat. On the way back to Jerusalem that morning, Jesus noticed the fig tree, verse 13 and 14, and seeing in a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. The fig tree had leaves, but no fruit. Jesus said in Luke 21:29, "Behold the fig tree and all the trees, that when they shoot forth, you will see it, and you will know yourself that summer is near." Whenever I think about that verse, I have to think about my brother in Christ, Jeff, because Jeff is always thinking about summer. Amen? Amen. When you think about this verse and you think about Jeff, come late winter or early spring, Jeff is the first to notice all the signs of spring coming and summer. He takes note of all the buzzards and the migratory birds returning. He observes the trees as they begin to bud. And he comes and he tells me, he goes, "Summer's on the way." I know summer's on the way. The buzzards are here. The trees are budding out. The leaves are coming. The grass is getting green. Good times are coming. Amen. And so I always have to think about Jeff when I think about that verse. The fig tree is the first tree to bud out in the spring. The fig tree has an alternating pattern of fruit production, which is, it's known as biennial bearing. Biennial bearing. This happens when a tree produces a large crop of fruit one year, but the next year it may have a very small crop or none at all. The cycle continues until the tree is pruned and it receives proper care. So biennial bearing in fig trees is primarily influenced by factors such as weather and pruning and the tree's natural growth cycle. So a fig tree could have full leaves and no fruit in its off year. Or it might have very little fruit in its off year. But on the following year, it could be totally loaded with fruit. So this tree that Jesus comes upon that he's expecting to get something to eat from was fruitless. It had nothing to eat. And so he cursed that tree. He told it that it would never bear fruit again. One would suppose that a tree in full foliage would have figs, but when Jesus came up there, he found nothing. Did Jesus know that the tree was fruitless? Well, I suspect so. I mean, Jesus knows everything. Amen. And so he must have had something else in mind when he came to this tree, and I think he did, because we see that he uses this tree to tell a story. So why does Jesus go to a fruitless tree to get something to eat? Well, Jesus was always teaching, and he always takes advantage of the moment to teach a parable relating an earthly meaning to a heavenly story, or an earthly story to a heavenly meaning, or a spiritual truth. Here Jesus uses this fruitless tree to give the disciples a life lesson. The image of professing believers having an outward appearance of spirituality but no fruit. The leaves of the fig tree deceived those who looked at it at a distance, and upon further inspection they did not find fruit. Remember the day before Jesus cursed the fig tree was Palm Sunday, when Jesus went to Jerusalem, and he went on that colt through Jerusalem straight to where? The temple. He went to church. When he got to church, he looked around and he left and he went back to Bethany. He saw a church of fruitless people. That's why he left. Why were they fruitless? Because they were not true believers. They were hypocrites. Today in the church, we see this. Not fruitless fig trees, of course, but fruitless people. Those who profess to be believers, but they have no fruit in their lives. And even though we as believers do not judge others who proclaim to be a child of God, most of us will not judge others. But the Bible does say that we will know them by their fruits. James 2, 18 and 19. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. To believe that Jesus is God's only Son, that he's the incarnate God, God in the flesh, to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead after life, that he died on the cross for all the sins of the world, is not salvation. Even the great deceiver, the devil, and all his demons believe this truth. But the devil is not saved, nor is he or his minions going to heaven. Why? Because they don't follow Jesus. Jesus is not Lord of their life. You see, there's a grave difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus in your heart. There's a big difference. The difference between a fruitless believer and a fruitful follower is the location of Christ. Jesus is on the mind, or he's on the heart. Jesus is standing on the outside, or he's standing on the inside calling the shots. And so this fig tree was cursed. This tree was not cursed for being fruitless. The tree was cursed for being a false witness. Jesus was hungry for food, and he found nothing. When Jesus comes into your heart and he saves you, he places his Holy Spirit in you. And he expects fruit. Amen? Amen? Amen. 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 He expects fruit. He doesn't want you to just come to church and sit on the pew and then go home and live out your life all week and then come to church and say, he does not want that. he likes for that to happen with fruit all week. So just because you're coming to church, don't think that you're okay. You know, it's more than just coming to church on Sunday. Jesus expects fruit, not fruit like going to church on Sundays. However, that's a great part of salvation. Once you're saved, you'll want to go to church on Sunday. Amen? It's not because you have to, it's because you get to. You look forward to Sunday's the greatest day in the life of a believer, right? Because we all get to come together as believers and we all get to come into the church house and worship corporately. So it's a great day in the life of a believer. Not just one who goes to church on Sunday, but one that goes to church because he loves God and wants to worship him. Not one that just prays for the sick, but one that goes to the sick and prays with them and helps them with groceries or a meal or a ride to medical treatment. Not one who just looks at people in bad circumstances and says, well, that's good enough for them, but one who goes to them in times of trouble. Not one who sees another in need, but one who offers up their resources in love for those who are in need. Not one who just proclaims a word, but one who lives out the word in daily life. That's what Jesus is looking for. He's looking for the fruit of a true believer. James says it this way. He says, be ye doers of the word and not just hearers. Folks come to church week after week and month after month and year after year, but they really never fruit up. Have you seen them? We've all seen them, amen? They're in amongst us. They believe their attendance might be good enough. They faithfully tithe and believe their money might get them into heaven. For a follower of Jesus Christ, attendance and tithing are not a requirement of salvation. They are the joy of salvation. And I don't go to church because I'm supposed to. I go to church because I love God and God's people. And I don't tithe because God needs the money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. I tithe because I can bring my love and praise to God in my obedience. If all you have been doing is attending and giving to the church, then don't stop. But you're not carrying the cross that Jesus called you to bear when he saved you and he gifted you and he called you to fruitfulness. As your pastor, I would rather you carry your cross faithfully more than give your 10% or get a star for perfect attendance. Amen? Because the most important thing you could do is be obedient to what God has called you to do. Being a true follower of Jesus is not easy. In fact, it's not for the faithless. It's impossible for the faithless. It requires self-denial and much sacrifice. Without Jesus, it's impossible to follow him. It's impossible to fight spiritual battles, to war against Satan and evil. Without him, I would be like a ship without a sail. I would be a shipwreck. Amen? The scribes and the Pharisees, they looked godly in their fine garments and their rituals and their public elaborate prayers, but they were like the barren fig tree. They looked like followers of God, but inside, God was nowhere to be found. Jesus said to them in Matthew 23, 27, and 28, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You look like whitewashed tombs, which are beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you're full of bones of dead people and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." Jesus tells a story in Luke chapter 18 of ritualistic worship. Two men went into the temple one day to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get." But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, and he beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Jesus' greatest desire is for us to follow him and yield fruit. What happens to a professing believer with no fruit? What happened to the folks Jesus found in the church that day when he went back to Jerusalem? He drove them out. He destroyed their works, and he did not allow anyone to carry anything in the temple in their hands. Jesus only wants you. He didn't want anything else, just you. Verse 14, "No man will ever eat from this tree," Jesus said. Jesus said in Matthew 20, 16 through 23, "You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from bushes? Are figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not profess in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not magnify the works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" This is really a harsh and convicting statement. Many will come to the judgment seat of God with all kinds of things in their hands, but nothing in their heart. Who is it that enters the kingdom of heaven? The one who has God in their heart and does the will of God. That's what the verse said. "It is the will of God that I am crucified with Christ. And it is not me who lives, but Christ who lives in and through me. It is the will of God that I deny myself and take up my cross and follow him. It is the will of God that I am obedient to do his will for my life and that I will live it out every day." Matthew 21:19 tells us, "Immediately the fig tree withered away." The disciples heard Jesus curse the tree, but they did not notice that immediately the tree had an effect upon it. It was not until the next day when they come back by the tree that Peter noticed the tree was withered. Side note, this cost you nothing. If Jesus did this to the fig tree by his word, what could he have done to those who were trying to crucify him? So how do we remain a fruitful believer? By living in the power of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God in you. The Trinity is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's name is not Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's name is not Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit's name is God. He is God. He is God in you. His name is God, and all three are God in different forms. Can a true believer become unfruitful? Absolutely. So how do you do that? Well, you quench the Spirit. When you quench the Spirit, you can stop fruits from being produced. How can a believer who has God living in them keep God from producing fruit in them? By quenching the Spirit, keeping God from living through them and manifesting himself in their lives. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. See that no one repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful and will surely do it." How do you keep from quenching the Spirit? Look at the list of things that don't quench the Spirit to know the things that will quench the Spirit. Respect your preacher and elders and deacons. Be at peace with one another. Help the fruitless to bear fruit. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient. Don't retaliate. Seek to do good things for one another and everyone else. Rejoice in the Lord. Pray always. Be grateful. And test everything against the Word of God, and hold fast to good and abstain from evil. That's how we keep from quenching the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16, 22, and 26 says, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. These are the fruits of the Spirit." These are the things that God wants to produce in you and I. And when God produces them things in our lives, other people ask, where did they come from? And so we can tell them how great God is. To bring this message home and to put into practice the teachings of Jesus, we need to know what to do. The question is, how can I do all these things? How can I be fruitful? The answer is, you can't. Only Jesus can. He puts his Spirit in you so that you are able to produce these fruits. John 15, 5 through 11. "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. How is God glorified in us? That we bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As my Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see, obedience is the key to abiding. When we have obedience to God and his word, we abide in him, and he produces fruit in us. Without Jesus in your heart, you are but a believer. And being just a believer is not enough. Even Satan believes, amen? You must have Jesus in your heart and be a follower. You must be attached to the life-giving vine, Jesus Christ. Then just let go and let God. If God is in you, let him have control. We become unfruitful when we shove God off the throne of our heart and we take back control. Are we still saved and going to heaven? Absolutely. God told you when he saved you, I will never leave you or forsake you, and God has never lied. Amen? He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Just get over it and get on with it. The way to being a fruitful Christian is by walking with Jesus every day, abiding in him, being obedient to his word and what he wants you to do. And when you abide in him, he produces fruits, lots of them, more fruits than you can handle. In fact, your fruit will be falling off the tree and rolling over to the neighbors. Your fruit will be falling off the tree and rolling down the road and getting in the way of other people that are driving. Your fruit, if we bring it all into the church house won't hold it all. In fact, we'd have to build a new building if we would all quit quenching the Spirit, because we would have so much fruit that this place would not hold it all. So what should the fruit inspector find when he comes to look at our life? He should find love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness and self-control and self-control and self-control. Not fruit that we can easily produce, but in the presence with God in our heart and the Holy Spirit in control, it's like falling off a rock. The fruit just starts coming out of us, and we don't know why. But we know the Spirit of God is producing it in and through us. Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Would you stand and pray with me? God, help us to never quench the Spirit. And when we do, help us to repent, that you might produce the fruit in us that you desire, and that that fruit might flow from us to others, that they too might find the giver of the fruit, Jesus Christ. Lord, as we pray for our church, we pray for this community, we pray for one another. Lord, we pray for fruit. And we pray for an abundant harvest of the fruit, that there would be so much that we wouldn't be able to contain it. And we know you are capable and able and want to produce that kind of a harvest. So, Lord, we pray for it. We ask you to do this very thing. Do it in us first. And then, Lord, may it spread from us to others, and may revival begin in us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for dying for us, for saving us, for sending your Spirit to live in us. Lord, this morning, maybe someone has been convicted that they don't know you in their heart. They believe that you're Jesus. They believe you're God's son. They believe that you died on a cross. They believe that you was risen from the dead and God brought you back to life. But we've heard this morning, even the devil believes that, and all his demons. So there must be more, and there is. It's say, Lord, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to give you control. I want you to be on the throne of my heart. I want you to put your spirit in me and produce fruit. And when you come to that place and you pray for God to come into your heart and be Lord, then the Spirit comes. This morning, you can pray that very prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And this altar is open. Right where you're at, listening on live stream, you can pray the prayer. And Jesus will come into your heart and save you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And you will be a child of the King. And you will go to heaven when you die. But in the meantime, you will be a fruit producer. And I pray that as believers, we would not quench the Spirit. I pray that if we've been doing that, that you would convict us so that we might repent and get right with you, that you might start producing the fruit that we were meant to make. God, whatever it is this morning that you want to do, I pray you'd have your will and your way during this invitation time. I pray that you would be exalted and lifted up. I pray, Lord, that you would have your will and your way in everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Be singing page 290.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we ask that you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe that you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church, and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to contact our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.